is by the bay for Friday, the 1st of May.
Alaska Airlines said they would bring their seasonal air service to Dillingham early after Raven Air was shut down. Now they'll be providing year-round service for the community.
The Dillingham City Council extended the city's permit system, but it did not vote to require testing for incoming travelers for now, and Alaknik residents can now come to Dillingham for work and other necessities without a permit. Subsistence permits in Dillingham will be available electronically this season. In Naknek and King Salmon, people will be able to get their permits via email, by post, or in person, while other communities can get their permits at regular vendors.
The governor mandated guidelines for commercial fishermen. The state says the fishery can operate safely as long as people follow the mandates. But some local leaders are concerned that there won't be enough enforcement and no plans in place for if people get sick. The Bristol Bay Borough is rolling out a plan to protect residents and prevent the spread of coronavirus during the upcoming fishing season. And we have an update from a developing story regarding the verdict from Brian Vane Clark's trial. All that coming up.
We're going to get started this week. The Dillingham City Council has extended the travel permit system for entry into the community until June 29th. The new ordinance passed last night also addresses confusion surrounding travel to Dillingham from Alaknik. Anyone who lives on the road system outside of city limits, like Alaknik residents, can come to Dillingham for groceries, to go to the post office, to go to work, or for medical reasons. Additionally, people can fly into Dillingham and go to their homes outside of city limits to quarantine there. The city is not requiring testing for incoming travelers for now. City Manager Todd Larson put a memo before the council that would have required travelers to have proof of a negative COVID-19 test within 72 hours of arriving. If that person was quarantining in Dillingham, they would have to get tested before coming to the community and have that test result be negative. During yesterday's workshop, several members of the public testified in strong support of required testing, saying it is necessary to prevent an outbreak. Alana Hurley is the executive director of the United Tribes of Bristol Bay.
I'm just deeply troubled to hear people say that requiring testing up front is unreasonable. What's truly unreasonable is the reality, to echo Tommy's comments, is that our communities are being forced by the state to deal with an influx of people from all over the world, many coming from, COVID hotspots, and they're forcing us to do so without any adequate protective measures. That's what's truly unreasonable.
Hurley said the state was failing the community and that the city needed to start requiring testing immediately in order to keep residents safe. Norm Van Vactor, CEO of the Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation, said that regional organizations were trying to work with the state, but the community may have to put its own protective measures into place.
It might be looking the state of Alaska in the face and saying, you say we can't, but we need to do what's right to protect the citizens of our communities.
Council member Caleb Westfall proposed revisiting all aspects of the ordinance that did not have to do specifically with the travel permit system, and that included testing requirements. Here's Westfall speaking at the meeting last night.
And my intent is to essentially solve our issue of travel, hopefully tonight, because I think my impression is we kind of agree on that language. And to take this in smaller bites.
Council member Greg Marks Miller, meanwhile, requested that the council reconsider the testing requirements and the other excluded sections of the ordinance in the next council meeting, which will take place on May 7th. The city will also not restrict movement around the Dillingham Harbor or the Wood River launch. Those were fisheries-related use districts, sections of the proposed ordinance that were taken out of the ordinance. In discussion, council members raised questions about the practicality of the measures, saying that it appeared to restrict the movement of local residents more than that of outside fishermen. The original resolution would have also required anyone needing to conduct business at the harbor, like launching a boat or going to the Napa store, to quarantine within the harbor area for 14 days, and the council also amended the original resolution so that face masks are not mandated by the city at this time. Mayor Alice Ruby finally proclaimed community cleanup days, pointing to supporting mental health awareness in the community.
The idea is that we really need some positive activities that that also sort of encourage the social distancing, and cleanup days have happened historically every year, and so it just seemed like a really good event.
A local town hall meeting yesterday brought together local officials, state representatives, health professionals, and seafood processors to answer questions and give updates on the commercial fishery. We have that meeting up on our website, kdlg.org. House Speaker Bryce Edgman was on the call as well, and he broke the news that Alaska Airlines is going to be operating year-round in Dillingham and King Salmon.
Alaska Airlines is doing everything possible to get a lease in place for the two facilities, which would enable them to bring service out in a very short order.
The airline announced last month that seasonal air service in Dillingham would start before July 1st, after Raven Air Group shut down due to a steep drop in travel amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Raven Air is in bankruptcy court this week. They plan to sell all of their assets to cover the company's debt. Once those hearings end, Alaska Airlines can work out an agreement to lease those facilities at both the Dillingham and King Salmon airports. Alaska Air spokesperson Tim Thompson says the airline does not have a definite schedule yet, but they plan to gauge demand once they are able to take off.
You know, those schedules can change just like we do throughout other places in the state of Alaska, you know, where we might have a daily service during the summertime because there's so much demand. We may do every other day or 2 days type of service into the wintertime. But the goal is to be able to provide year-round scheduled service into the region.
As of Friday morning, the airline's first flight to Dillingham is still scheduled for June 1st.
Mary Swain, the executive director of the Chamai Health Center in Naknek, said that the clinic was ramping up testing and capacity on the east side. They will be opening up their own testing site in Naknek near the clinic. They are also installing a quarantine area for certain cases. Swain said they were working to determine how they would handle a large amount of patients during the season.
That the clinic will be able to identify those people that are still kind of at risk but maybe haven't tested positive, but we really need to keep a watch on them, or we need to retest them because we're not quite sure that the test came back accurately. So we're working that avenue also. That should probably be here, like I said, it'll be here about the end of the month. We are working also in preparations as to what does a season look like. How are we going to triage patients? What are we doing? We have additional staff that we've already hired for the season. We will be doing telehealth a lot this season. We've done that in previous years on a more limited capacity, but this year we're broadening that. That means if somebody on a fishing boat needs to get in touch with somebody in the medical community, we will have people specifically that they can call and have an appointment with, and they'll be able to talk to them on their phone, via FaceTime, Zoom, whatever avenue they have available to them, so that we can identify people that are sick quickly and get them the treatment that they need.
Swain said that the Leader Creek Clinic will be open for the entire months of June and July. The Public Health Center in Dillingham will have an additional nurse working there this summer. The availability of medevac flights is another topic of concern heading into the season. Swain said that local residents who needed medevacs would contact the clinic and that they have a system in place to handle as many patients as necessary.
We have availability for multiple ways of getting people out. If we need to get out two people, we can call our normal lines. If we need to get out four or five people, then we will be calling incident command saying we need bigger help. And then they would be able to help through their partners, such as the National Guard, the military, the Coast Guard, whatever that looks like, they will be able to handle that for us. We're working very closely with them so that we can make sure that that happens.
Heidi Hedberg is the director of the State Office of Rural Health. She said that a medevac flight would be a coordinated call between entities. The processing company would be coordinating with the public health clinic, and the first call would be for a private medevac flight. If that is not an option, the call would then go on to the state.
And that's when we would work with our National Guard and or the Coast Guard in order to move those patients.
And Hedberg said the National Guard and Coast Guard would be prepared to transport positive COVID cases.
Right. And of course, the situation is changing daily in the region, and we will be continuing to follow these discussions and updates as we head into next week. Subsistence permits in Dillingham will be available electronically this season. The Fish and Game Office in Naknek and King Salmon will send people permit forms via post. People can receive those by email, post, or in person, residents of other communities can get permits at their regular vendors. The change is an effort to reduce foot traffic to the office in Dillingham. Here's Tim Sands, an area management biologist for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Dillingham.
We will send you a PDF form that you fill out on your phone or on your computer. It's a fillable form. You can sign it. You send it back to us. Then we'll complete our part of the form with our signature and the number, and then we'll send it back to you, and that'll be your permit.
Those permits can be saved on your phone and can be used instead of a printed copy while subsistence fishing this season. There's also a form to report your subsistence harvest at the end of the season, which is also available electronically. Fish and Game's offices in Dillingham and King Salmon are open, but only two visitors at a time are allowed in the Dillingham office.
And if everybody from Dillingham decides they need to come get a permit after June 1st, there's going to be hours-long waits to get permits. So we're asking people to think ahead, be proactive, and do stuff online as much as possible.
And for your phone, there are several ways to do this and fill out that permit electronically. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on your computer. There's an app available via Adobe. It's an Adobe fill-in sign app on your phone, and that's free. And then you can send that right on to Fish and Game. And commercial fishing forms are no longer requiring a notary. That includes the permit holder agent authorization form, and that will reduce contact time with processors and Fish and Game. Here's Tim Sands speaking at the town hall meeting yesterday.
If you need to renew your boat ABF&G number or your permit, go online, get it done now. Don't wait till June and try and come in the office and get us to help you, because you could end up waiting for hours if there's a long line at the office. So just trying to get people to be proactive and take care of as much stuff in advance as possible.
Fish and Game also plans to operate all field camps and projects in the region. Sand says that field staff will have limited to no contact with the community when traveling to their sites, all of which will be closed to campuses with no visitor policies in place. Thousands of fishermen coming to Bristol Bay will be operating under a strict set of guidelines this season, laid out in the new mandate released last week by Governor Mike Dunleavy. But some local leaders say it's not enough. For Alaska's Energy Desk, I filed this report. The mandate comes at a time when the Bristol Bay region is usually gearing up for the largest sockeye salmon fishery in the world. It targets independent fishing boats, many of which are operated by captains and crew who travel to Bristol Bay from outside Alaska. People who want to fish this summer will have to wear masks while traveling to the region and go immediately to the place where they'll quarantine for 2 weeks. Once they arrive, they'll have their temperatures checked twice a day. The mandate requires crew members to undergo verbal and physical screenings upon arrival, and they can't have respiratory problems or fever. Fishermen are allowed to quarantine on board, and they're still allowed to fish as long as they restrict contact with other boats and people on shore as much as possible. To protect communities, the mandate also stipulates that crew can only leave the vessel for essential purposes. Robert Clark, the president and CEO of Bristol Bay's Regional Health Corporation, says the latest mandate is a step in the right direction, but it's still not enough to protect residents.
I don't see from the governor or BIA or the cities or the boroughs enough enforcement to ensure that people are following the rules. It really comes down to plans are only as good as follow through and enforcement. And there's got to be some big consequences, because lives are at stake.
The corporation's executive committee voted to close the 2020 commercial fishery last week. Clark says that he doesn't think that position will change. The corporation manages Kanakanak Hospital in Dillingham, which is the region's only hospital. It is licensed for 16 beds, 12 of which are suitable for people who need additional oxygen. It has no intensive care unit and just one ventilator for emergency use on coronavirus patients. In its announcement last week, BBAHC said that without a plan in place to protect the community and provide additional resources to the hospital, the season would put residents at risk of being infected with COVID-19. The state says that it is looking into hiring teams to assist communities with enforcement efforts. Here's Health Commissioner Adam Crum speaking at a local town hall meeting Thursday.
This is something the state would find the money to pay for, to actually have security forces in region, just to make sure that the whole industry is doing what they're supposed to do, protecting the community, not having undue mixing, and that, you know, we can have a safe fishery, which is critical to Alaska and the world's food supply, as well as making sure the communities are safe and protected and they have the support they need.
The question of enforcement also weighs on Thomas Tilden. He's the first chief of the Chukayong Tribal Council in Dillingham. He says that the governor's mandate is relatively comprehensive, but that there are still loopholes.
I see it working pretty well on tenders. However, with fishing boats, you're absolutely right. The quarters are limited. Number of bathrooms are limited. Sleeping bunk areas are limited. So this would be really hard to enforce. For example, if you did have a crew member that came down sick, if you quarantined them in the cabin, I mean, that means nobody else can go into the cabin. So people need to take a hard look at this and find out what's doable and what's not doable.
Boats are required to continuously monitor crew members who show signs of illness. If a fisherman is suspected of having COVID-19, they must wear a mask or cloth covering and stay in a private room with a door and separate bathroom facilities. The largest commercial vessels permitted to fish in Bristol Bay are 32 feet in length and don't have enough space to isolate sick crew members. The mandate says that in such cases, the entire vessel will be put under 14-day isolation. Gayla Hossett is the tribe's second chief. She says that's just not realistic and that the mandate doesn't clearly state what will happen if someone gets sick.
Why should we sacrifice anybody's life, whether you live here or whether you're coming here? We shouldn't have to sacrifice the life of anybody so that people could go and make some money. It's not worth that price tag of anybody's life right now because we don't have the resources to help people. We have very limited resources here.
The mandate directs any fisherman with suspected or confirmed cases of COVID-19 to contact the local public health provider for guidance. If they do not require shoreside medical attention, it continues, the boat may continue fishing during a 14-day quarantine. It specifically applies to boats that have not agreed to operate under a fleet-wide plan submitted by a company, association, or entity representing them. The Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association, a regional seafood group, has a set of safety ideas on its website, but Executive Director Andy Wink says the association has no authority to mandate fleet-wide requirements.
We think the state mandate is workable. We provided input on it, and, you know, again, it put out our set of safety ideas, and a lot of them are incorporated into the state mandate. So yes, we feel it is that they are workable options.
Wink says the association is trying to help fishermen meet these safety requirements by offering discounted medevac insurance packages. They have also acquired 8,000 face masks and flags, signaling if a boat is under quarantine, which they plan to distribute to the entire fleet by June. The state will reevaluate the mandate by May 20th. For Alaska's Energy Desk in Dillingham, I'm Izzy Ross. And the Bristol Bay Borough is working on a way for incomers to safely enter the community. Borough Manager Greg Brelsford says that the borough is working extensively with the processors that operate in the borough on a joint approach to safeguard the community and industry against COVID-19 this season. So what is the Bristol Bay Borough looking at in terms of preparations for the upcoming fishing season? And what did the Borough Assembly discuss at its meeting last week?
The Borough right now is preparing to go forward with the fishing season. Many of the processor workers come from all over the world, so they're coming from all kinds of different backgrounds, and that's a concern to us. I believe the processors so far have been working in good faith to coordinate with the borough to provide a reasonable approach, a reasonable strategy for protecting the borough under all the circumstances. Now, the assembly had a special meeting on April 22nd and considered a number of resolutions. One was a resolution to add some requirements of people who come into the borough based on the governor's mandate 12. The assembly felt like the borough's program wasn't quite ready. In an abundance of caution and care, they wanted to delay it until the May 4th meeting to allow staff more time to work on the proposal. There was another one that the borough did pass, which is to create a traveler declaration program, where people arriving in the borough would be asked to fill out a travel declaration similar to the state declaration that people fill out when they arrive in the state from outside, from places like Seattle. The staff is now working on the details and the operational aspects of implementing a traveler declaration program, and we certainly hope to have that up and running by next week.
Are there any specific things that the borough is looking at with processors to protect communities?
Well, there's a couple of things that are part of the borough, the processors' plans that they've given to the borough and that the borough's discussed with them. One is that the processor workers who come into the borough for this fishing season will be met at the airport by a processor bus. They'll be taken directly to the processor campus, and they'll remain on campus for the duration of the fishing season. They won't leave the campus until they're on their way home. So it'll be sort of a bubble that each processor puts over their campus and keeps all of their workers in there for the duration of the summer so that workers will not be circulating in the surrounding community.
Mm-hmm. One big concern that we've heard over here on the west side, and that I'm sure you know people on the east side are thinking about as well, is the issue of enforcement and, you know, enforcement capacity for either the city of Dillingham, the Bristol Bay Borough, municipalities and communities that don't necessarily have that many resources to enforce these mandates and requirements for the large number of people coming in. What is the borough looking at in that regard?
Well, you put your finger on it in terms of limited capacity. All the rural communities don't have all the resources and all the people that they need to manage this kind of situation, and including enforcement of the agreements that the processors have reached with us and with the state. Those are plans that have been agreed to by the state. So the primary strategy is voluntary compliance. The processor managers and leaders have assured me that if I hear of infractions or instances of noncompliance, I can call them and they'll deal with it. So the first instance is the processors are going to take care of it themselves. If the borough learns of egregious violations, then we will talk to the processors and address it in that context.
Is the borough considering any plans in terms of fishermen and fishermen coming in, since they are not, you know, necessarily under the purview of a processing company, or but are rather, you know, independent businesses?
Sure. We've got two strategies for that. But let me say, as everyone knows, fishermen are very independent. But a number of them work for the processors. So we're hoping the processors can reach an arrangement with their fishermen that is respectful for the concerns of the community and the protection of the community. Two, we're working with a program, an organization called BBRSDA, that works with a lot of the independent fishermen, and they're trying to arrange voluntary compliance by their members for the COVID protective procedures. So that's two strategies that are underway right now. For fishermen who may not be covered by that, we're going to be trying to get the message out to them. We're also going to be trying to get them to comply with the travel declaration if they come into the borough. And we're going to just rely on people's goodwill and good faith and a common approach for everybody to protect the people, to maximize the protection of the people in the borough.
Thank you so much for taking some time to talk this afternoon. I know you're busy, so I really appreciate it.
Sure. Thanks, Izzy.
Brian Vane Clark was found not guilty in the murder of Ella Olson by an Anchorage jury at the end of March. Clark was cleared on four felony counts of murder in the first and second degree and one count of robbery in the first degree. Clark's trial was conducted over a five-week period. It began February 27th. It was first scheduled for Dillingham, but bad weather restricted the legal teams from traveling out of Anchorage. We are still working through the details of Clark's trial. There will be more information to follow. Oh,
And that just about does it for the show on this Friday, the 1st of May, International Workers' Day. We're going to take a look at the weather, and we have some community announcements coming up. What is it looking like right now, Tyler?
In Dillingham, currently it's 39 degrees with some cloudy skies. Winds are around 8 miles per hour. Today, it's more cloud coverage. We could see some rain showers this afternoon. The highs will be in the lower 40s to lower 50s, a southeast wind at 15 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, more rain showers, lows in the upper 20s to mid 30s, a northeast wind at 15 miles per hour. Tomorrow, Saturday, mostly sunny in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy, highs in the mid 40s to mid 50s, a north wind at 15 miles per hour. Over in Naknek, it's 44 degrees with some fair skies. Winds are around 11 miles per hour. Today is a mix of clouds and sunshine, a high of 47 degrees, wind southeast at 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies. This evening will become partly cloudy after midnight. Low of 31 degrees, wind southwest at 10 miles per hour. And tomorrow, sunny skies, a high of 52 degrees, winds north at 10 miles per hour. Up in Unalakleet, it is 40 degrees with some sunny skies. Today, more sunshine, a high of 46 degrees, winds northeast at 20 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear skies, a low of 29 degrees, winds northeast at 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, mainly sunny, a high of 44 degrees, winds northeast at 20 miles per hour. Now let's check out what's going on in the community.
So, department staff with the Department of Fish and Game flew a survey of the Togiak Herring District on April 30th. Survey conditions were poor, with low clouds obscuring most of the area. The only areas staff were able to survey were the northern portions of Nunavichok and Togiak Bays. One sea lion and numerous seabirds were observed. Several small schools of fish were observed near the beach. Northeast corner of Togiak Bay on yesterday's flight. Staff flew a survey on Monday and observed schools of fish in the same area as well as on the west side of Togiak Bay and on the beach at the head of the bay. Based on the position of those schools of fish and no signs of fish schools along Cape Constantine or the east face of Hagemeister Island, where herring traditionally enter the district, it is likely that these fish are smelled, the department reports. All of the bays of Togiak District are ice-free, as are the major rivers. And we're going to be following up, of course, next week on what the Togiak herring fishery is looking like as we head into that. On Monday, May 4th, the Bristol Bay Borough is holding an assembly meeting at 7 p.m. in Borough Assembly Chambers. You can call in to participate. Of course, please mute your phone unless you're speaking. The City of Dillingham has a new email address for community suggestions, communitysuggestions@dillinghamak.us. Bristol Bay Borough has a locked drop box in the front lobby for community convenience. Should you need to enter the building, please call first to make an appointment, 246-4224. Nushagak scholarships applications are due by the last Friday in May at 5 p.m. You can mail them to the following: Nushagak Cooperative, care of Gala Powers, P.O. Box 350 in Dillingham. You can also drop off those applications for Nushagak scholarships in the drop box outside of the customer service office on Kenny Wren Road. And the Bristol Bay Borough wants to send you COVID-19 updates via email, text, or voice calls. You can text BBB COVID-19 to 67283. You can call 246-4224 if you're having issues opting into those messages. And that just about does it for community announcements. This week felt like it was about 99% long meetings and, a little respite here and there. We really appreciate everyone who called in to, all of the town hall yesterday. And we look forward to having another one in a few weeks here right on KDLG. And we also appreciate everyone who tuned in to listen to the other meetings that were going on this week, city council meeting yesterday, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Remember to breathe this weekend. Take it easy, relax, enjoy yourselves. We'll see you on Monday.